question is having books from different religions dangerous, such as Jehovah's Witness? My dad says he wants to keep them to study. So it sounds like this dad has these books from the Jehovah that were given, maybe given by the Jehovah's Witness, and he's keeping them to study. Okay, feel free to jump in. Future Ho.
I go first. Number one said, is it okay to read this book? To me, it's no. Because even as a preacher, we are very careful about reading the publication from other denominations. Sometimes even the commentary, there's a commentary. Or the book is published by Jehovah Witness. Because once people, they are reading some articles, they have their thought inside. They put into in the writing. Unless we are very sensitive to our doctrines, or we have very clear about God, everything. Otherwise, we may mislead into wrong direction. So gradually, we will be influenced by their thought. So since we know their teaching has been not 100% correct already, right? So it's not necessary to spend time in the publication. We better spend time in the book, in the Bible itself, to read it. One example, we have a brother. He actually come to our church because of the miracle. His sickness has been healed by through prayer and also a lot of intercession in the church. So he came to church and then he experienced God. But unfortunately, he was careless about the publications. He considered himself as a Christian. So even though his friends invite him to attend a so-called reading club, he just read the books. And actually, the book was related to Buddhism. There's some very devout men, they believe in Buddhism, and then write very encouraging to others, make yourself aware about what you should live for this life. So he considered it's okay. It's very positive, right? And he also sealed his heart. I'm a Christian. I'm TJC members. I must be careful. But even though he has this kind of awakeness, eventually he was greatly influenced by the books. So it's very sad. He turned away. He turned aside to other belief. So he forsook Lord Jesus Christ and then follow another God, so-called God. So this is someone's experience. Okay, so probably be careful. If we have read our publication, we better to spend time in the Bible first, our belief, and also our publication. Even in the church, we also have to be careful about what we are reading, right? So this is what I share about question on any supplements.
The spirit and the truth are related to each other. So while Peter was preaching, the Holy Spirit came down. Right? But on the other hand, the different theory probably come from different spirit. So where we are reading the book inspired by different spirit. While we are reading, probably the other spirit will work. So the best way to avoid it. There are two brothers. I think some of you know them. They were interested in Falun Gong, right? And then they went to attend the meeting, and later on, they started to read it. And one of the brothers was awakened and come back to the church. Right now, still in the church. Another brother, from that time on, just followed the Falun Gong, and right now become a very strong supporter of Falun Gong. It's happened in South Cal. So be careful.
The next.
Yes. Oh. What is Falun Gong? Falun Gong is another branch. It's a mixture of the Buddhism and Taoism. And it's from Chinese. So it's actually it's a mix of the philosophy, Buddhism, and Taoism. So they use all different kind of the format. Try to convince people you can receive some superpower through their practice. And this actually is a spiritual thing, not only a philosophy.
Okay. Thank you. All right, the second question is very practical. How do you know when to stop trying to evangelize to someone? We know that God's sheep listens to his voice, so if a person does not heed the gospel, how do we know whether it's just not God's time or that person is not God's sheep? Preacher Liang. Or Preacher Chung. Who hasn't spoken yet. Yeah, it's a tough question.
I think one example is my friends. I met him in 1982. See, every time I preach, then he doesn't like let me to preach. So only say, you buy me my lunch. So every time he buy my lunch or dinner. Because time is up to God, but we can pray for them. And the person resists to the truth, then his time is not yet. We don't have to prove anything, but the person is open their heart, then come to the truth. And I can say this, we can continue to pray. If you have any friends, don't have to argue with them until they really come to you to want to know the truth. They know you already have been friends for a while. Also, one case, you know, that the husband was our church member, but wife wasn't our church member before. Every time I see her, then she doesn't like to see me. Because I'm the representative of TJC, she doesn't like the TJC. So when she look at me, and then she just turn around. Hi, and that's all I for myself, I can't do it. But after several years, things changed. One day, I say hi, and I thought she turned away her face, but this time she said hi. So thank God. Inside of me said, thank God. And they come to me, can you visit me? We can have a dinner together. I say, oh yes, it's free dinner, then I go. I go and talk about, she experienced about that instance. Then suddenly come up to her mind that, yeah, I have to believe in God. So then we talk about it. And the following spiritual convocation, she come, she baptized, received the Holy Spirit. So that I'd say, wow, this is the way. God's way is amazing. Yeah.
I think the principle is we have to keep contact, keep this connection on. Because we don't know God's time, right? Because the question already mentioned it. Whether it's just not God's time or that person is not God's sheep. Unless this person die. Otherwise, how do you know? He or she is not a God's sheep, right? So we have to keep waiting until God's time. So as long as people alive, still alive, they have chance. So this is the principle. We just keep this connection. We do our part. We deliver the message. And when time's up, and then you can see the situation is different.
So the third question is, if you know that a truth seeker comes to church because he or she is interested in a believer, should we continue to preach to them knowing that he or she comes for the wrong motives?
You know, I think some of us know the answer, right? Because even though someone is in the wrong motive in the beginning, initially they maybe come to try to looking for someone. But it doesn't matter because God can change people's heart, right? So if you come to the church, if you really come in with a humble heart to listen, we do our part only. Right? Because he said, should we continue to preach to them knowing that he or she come for the wrong motives. We continue to preach. So we invite the person come to church to listen to the sermon, right? So just like I think it's in Philippians. In Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Verse 18. This is related to preaching. Someone that preach gospel in a different motives. So 18 says, what then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice. Yes, and will rejoice. So we preach, if someone they come to the church, the truth will you know, the spirit will move. Okay. So because in the church we see some of the cases also. They come into the church for someone, but eventually they was touched and they change their mind. The truth move their heart.
It would be better if some people come to the church because of wrong motive, because of opposite sex, and then when the person comes to the church, we arrange the same sex members, all right? Female to female, male to male, and then to entertain the truth seeker, and it should be fine, yeah. Because before they know the truth, even the wrong motive, if they want to come to church, we welcome them, yeah.
Very good. Okay, so the fourth question is, sometimes during our evangelism, we encounter some people who deny that the Bible is the truth. They say the Bible is written by man and composed in a way so that it is what it is now. How can we convince them that the Bible is the truth?
Because this is the toughest one, so
it's a hard question.
Yes. Sometimes during our evangelism, we encounter people who deny the Bible is the truth. The person is very naive, I think. You can tell this person cannot believe the Bible. Then there's a different way to can approach. Showing the true love so they can touch by the love of God. And eventually, because their heart was not opened, maybe we can explain, the intellectual way to explain this person's heart is closed. Then it's very hard to see the Word of God. Of course, we can invite them to the to evangelical service, so let them little by little understand about the scriptures. We can try do our best explain all different way, but some people it's hard to convince. They already fixed their mind. The Bible it's not a word of God. Only we can pray to God. The Spirit of God open their heart. With God everything is possible. This is the way for my understanding.
Here it says the Bible, they say the Bible is written by men and composed in a way so that it is what it is now. But so because if people they don't believe, you know, someone has been inspired by God to write it down. Any book actually is someone make it, right? If you ever see a book that's written by God directly, only Ten Commandments. Right. So, regarding to the book, of course, must have someone to ink it and to pen. So this is a logical thinking, but it is a matter of who inspired this writer to write it. Every book written by someone, of course, right? Your textbook is also written by author. Do you believe that the math is right? Is true? Right? How do you know that this textbook is correct? You experience it. Like a science textbook, how do you know this theory is right? Because many people already experience, make some experiment and then prove this right. Right? The same token, Bible. So many Christians they experience the word of God. They just follow it and then believe and they do it and then they got the meaning. They know this is so called living word of God. So that's why one brother, when he saw the Bible, this is the very first time he flipped to the Bible verses, and then he just come out a verse. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. He used to be very worried about his life. He used his own way, trying to get some blessings. But when he came to this verse, Proverbs 10, 22, he said, "Wow, the blessing of the Lord is made rich, and he had no sorrow with it." He just considered, "Wow, this is good." And then he believed in this word. Verse. He asked, he prayed, and then God let him experience what does the verse mean. Really, rich, but without sorrow, without worry. And then this make him more eager to learn the word of God, the rest of the Bible. So he continued to read, and then he experienced so many verses and become so true to him. So Bible is not just an analogy. Bible is a book. It's a book of life. We experience it. So this, I think for this person, we better to give him some testimony. Even our own experience is the best. Because this is how we believe this God, this word of God. Not just someone read it. Because this is someone being inspired by God and this word of God. Okay. Any question? Or
okay, very good. All right. So the next question is: how can a small campus fellowship do evangelical work? Small meaning three people.
Ha ha ha.
three small minutes. Three is not small. Right? Do you remember the Matthew 18? Right? Matthew 18? And which verse? Matthew 18. Two of three. Right? Which verse? 20. Right? Two or three in the name of Jesus. And then three, remember the Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 10, or verse, which verse? Chapter 4. Three-fourth of cord is not quickly broken, right? So it's not a matter of how many. It's a matter of we have a consensus. We have the same heart. And then we pray together. And we have a consistent, this kind of the servitude for the gospel. So the start is we group together, you know, pray and ask the Holy Spirit to move. And but in our personal part, we have to do some actions. So I do remember some brother, they are eager, even though just only one, they just make their best to reach to their classmates or their friends. So they have some campus fellowship, some brothers came in to assist, you know, to support. So even just one, they also hold the campus evangelical fellowship. So we can get help from other campus fellowship, especially in the some area we have a neighborhood or the nearby campus or youth can support it. Then we can use it, right? Isn't it? So we pray. Then if we can have a church to support, it's even better, because the church, the evangelical department, always ready to assist in this kind of evangelical work. Okay, so how to start? I think right now the format we most of the campus fellowship we do have a weekly prayer section, right? Gathering together, pray and Bible study, and then we plan some steps. You know, when we want to set up, so we do need a proposal. Not a proposal, but just some plan to do it. In this day, we wanted to have a meeting or anything. So we can just have, I think we can get some idea from other campus fellowship. Yeah? And pray, Holy Spirit will guide. Okay?
Okay. So the next question is actually a little bit more open-ended. So share your memorable experiences in evangelism. And this could be, for example, with a close relative, classmate, roommate, or stranger.
Yeah. Number six, right? Yeah, so memorable. During my training, practical training, I was assigned to Tampa, Florida. I think it's during the training. I cannot remember clearly. But the one lady was there. She's very old. And there was a sister, May, asked me to go to visit her. So I visit her. First time I visit her, find out it's a very old lady. Her mind is all... Maybe 30 minutes, you know, now she accepted, but after 30 minutes she changed her mind, you know, kind of. And my sister May says, one time we go there, and second time I go there, third time I go there. It seems like there's no hope, because this lady is old, and it seems like, you know, back and forth and back and forth. And so, but she said, let's go, let's go. Say, okay, let's go. But inside of me, say, why should I go? And so I'm saying, already we've been the visitor, you know, many times. But she said, go. So I have to follow. So I said, let's go, go. But what happened is, after, you know, this word, the several time visit continue. And then the spiritual convocation come after all. And then she wants to come to the church. Yeah. So later this lady came. I think she's before she was 100 years old. So it's close to 100 years old. Yeah. So that spiritual convocation, she was baptized. And then after finished that, and I went back to LA. After a few weeks, I heard that she passed away. Then I say, it's not I feel sad. I say, oh yes, thank God. So her soul was saved. So that's, I think, one of a very good good memory for me. Once the person was saved, then it's really become a good memory. And so share the memorable experience in evangelism. For me, say, never give up. Even the person even changed their mind, I learned from there. So we can keep on visiting and praying for that person. If that is the one, the chosen one, then God will save the person. So that's what I learned from there.
I share one of my experience. You know, it's the number, I think it's number two, he said, God, if God's sheep listen to his voice. So, you know, this is the evangelical work, it's the work of God. Actually, this is all, everything is at the hand of God to move someone's heart. So, actually, we deliver the message only. So once I give you one example. One couple, they come to study the Bible because of friends introduced them to join the Bible study. You know, the first time they join, they just find out, oh, reading Bible is such a wonderful experience. And then they also, the husband actually the first time to pray with us in the spirit, pray in tongue. Of course, he also feels so strange at the beginning. Oh, this is another way. People pray in this way. But after that, I think to me the most I can ponder the work, how it become, you know, we have a fruit to reap, to harvest it, because continuing to follow him up. Because, you know, sometimes we invite our friend come to join the evangelical service, you know, or come to the campus fellowship to Bible study with us. But if it's just only once or a while, this kind of the seed, the word of God cannot grow, you know. Sometimes it will be subdued by other temptation or other thought. But if we can continue to follow him up, and then we can see how God is working and moving people. So continue to move, to follow him, and then, you know, through the Sabbath or whatever the chance we have, we just have a continuation, you know, to Bible study with the truth seekers. And then they eventually really understand, wow, this is truth. So they come to the church because they really want to the salvation. They experience God is so blessing. So the couple, they come to believe and being baptized. Another two couples, they also do this continuing follow-up. They believe. So to us, we also invite our friend come, right? Come to join. I think this is what we're supposed to do. We have to continue to follow them up. You know, invite them, or or just spend time with them. It's very important. Sometimes they come to, you know, to a church to listen to a sermon. They cannot get it. Because if people, they have no idea about Bible, about books, particular, you know, a message, we in a sermon, we usually get one verse, you know, and then talk about the teaching, right? Sometimes they don't get it. But if we can really spend time one-to-one, to dissolve their question and then answer it, their doubt, they will have a more they will become easier to enter the truth and understand what we are talking about, the truth. Okay? So this is what I remember, the two couples come to the church because of the continuing follow-up. Yes. But they don't, they come to church, right? And then they have received Holy Spirit. We lost contact with them, you mean? And then they disappear. Okay, let's stay in this. I think we probably have to reconnect with the person again. Yeah. Or sometimes just send them, you know, because right now it's so convenient. You send a link to our website. Link to, you know, whatever you consider is a good to the person to understand the truth. Sometimes even YouTube, right? Or hymns, or, you know, articles, or any link you can get in. Sometimes it works. Yeah. So I think first step is get connect again. Introduce by God's wisdom.
Good. All right. Question number 7. I understand that evangelism is important. However, I am very shy, and evangelism seems almost burdensome. What are some practical tips to increase my boldness?
The best way is first teamwork. You go with another one who is very bold. All right, just follow the person. And the second is, after we pray, we are filled by the Holy Spirit, we will have more boldness. Yeah. So there are two ways in my experience. Yeah.
I echo what Bishop Liang said. Sometimes you have to have someone accompany you. If someone is really joyful and become very friendly to someone and easy to chat with others, chatting with others, you know. So team is very important. So that's like, just like if we go out to preach door to door, you don't go out by yourself, right? Always a team. Sometimes a team, you know, composed of a children. If a child, a boy, very energetic and very, you know, bold, you know, they just, because if sometimes the children, they just so cute, right? So sometimes they open and saw the adorable child there, they just start to talk. So it's a way we can combine all the children, youth, sometimes the even senior member together, because sometimes you have a grandmother, it looks so kind, right? 慈祥的阿嬷, if You know, so that's why the evangelical team must be, you know, come from all different stages or different ages of members, connect together, work together. And that's what we learn from others. Okay? So, it's team. And learn from someone's testimony. I heard I remember a brother, Luo, probably in Taiwan, Da Tong Church, Shuanglian. I mentioned it in the SAC before. He is someone who cannot speak frequently. Kou qi means he just cannot. He's so nervous to speak to someone. This is become he feels so ashamed for himself. But after he heard the message, how God talked to Moses in Exodus chapter 4, who make your mouth? And then he prayed to God, God, you make my mouth. So I pray you give me this courage to preach. I want to participate into the evangelism. So he prayed, and then he started, grabs the opportunity because he was a taxi driver. So he started to participate, just provided the ride for someone, for truth seekers. And then, because always have someone accompany him, so on the way to or from church, he just speak to talk to the person, truth seekers. Eventually, his problem, God healed him. God healed his problem. So he can speak frequently, and also he become a very good and very, very useful worker for evangelism. So this is how God changed him. So Holy Spirit make everything possible. Okay? Yes.
Okay, question number 8. What if after preaching, not one soul believes, will I be able to meet Jesus like the hymn 281?
Because evangelism is not only you go out to preach to strangers or anybody to true secret, you can convince them to bring them into the church. Evangelism is actually the entire church life included. So everybody have a different gift, a different talent. So don't think that, you know, if you are like a shy, no, it's if you're shy or you know, you have a, but yet some part of the, you know, things to do is very confidence you have. God gave each one a different gift. So some people, they don't know how to preach out there to people, yet the person come to the church, they know how to treat them. So, you know, provide them, to talk to them. So everybody have a different gift. And education is a part of evangelism. So evangelism is not only outside the strangers. So here says, what if I have to preach not one soul believer? Yeah. The soul to come to the Lord to be baptized, to be saved, it's not up to us. Anyway, it's up to God. But the thing is, we tried. Yeah, tried. That's the important part. So once you tried, you help the part of the holy work, then actually engage the evangelisms. So you don't have to worry about when you end up, you know, here's the second coming, and Jesus coming, that we stand in front of him. I do not save any. So actually, you're part of there to save the souls. Don't worry about it. And also, you know, it's our salvation is not because we save many souls, because of the grace of God. So don't too much stress on it. The only thing is we continue to pray, and just what you know, the minister mentioned that we need to have a spirit of preaching. Yeah, actually, I myself was very shameful. I never thought about myself to be a preacher. Actually, to stand in front of the people. Yeah, so I never. You know, today, the last few days, I talked to this pastor from Presbyterians. I never thought about myself a dream in my dream before. I can talk to other denomination, pastors. But he actually finished the divinity, actually. He's quite a long time of experience. So for me, it's okay. I can preach to you. Then no matter you have a doctorate degree, that's okay. I can sit down, you open the Bible, let's do it. No problem, sir. I say, I have a dare. I don't know where it came from, but I know who behind me. So I just thank God. So don't worry about it.
The Bible says, Paul sow the seed, Apollo water. God make it grow. So it is God who make it grow. So as long as we do our best to preach, what kind of result is not in our own control. So we are able to meet Jesus. Don't worry.
Yeah. Okay, so he said, will I be able to meet Jesus? So according to Bible, this is say, like the hymn 281, huh? Hymn 281 is just encouragement. Hymn 81 is not a Bible, right? So according to Bible, we have to see what Bible say. You know, how are we going to face Jesus? The problem is no matter how many people you have brought to the Jesus, right? Not because you have done so many work, but because we follow the will of God, right? Matthew chapter 7, who can really be accepted into his kingdom? Not because, we have preached you gospel in your name. So many people come to believe, right? But end up, if we don't follow God's will, right? If we don't worship him from our heart, really do his will, then we probably become the left hand side, right? Remember this lunch prayer, Sister Amy, she just cited the passage, right? Okay, so the teamwork. Even though sometimes we pray for them, for the truth seeker, we talk to them just like what Bridgerton said. This we actually participate in this if preaching already. Okay? So this is not our personal work or our credit. This is the whole church. This is the work of Jesus.
Yes, thanks. I think we have time for one more. So let's do number 9. We are supposed to preach to the ends of the earth, and we will encounter people of diverse backgrounds. However, there are people who I cannot relate to or I feel inadequate to preach to. What are some ways to bridge this gap or find common ground?
What are the some ways to bridge this gap or find common ground?
Paul mentioned in 1 Corinthians, to the Jews I behave like a Jew, to the Gentile I behave like a Gentile. So to be flexible is very important, so we can get in touch with all different kind of people. But sometimes we cannot be flexible enough because of language barrier or culture difference. So the best way is to find the person who has same background. Because if I want to visit a truth seeker who can only speak Japanese, and the best way is I find a person who knows the Japanese culture, who can speak a very fluent Japanese, and to accompany us to go. And that will become a bridge, and that will be very helpful. If you are a very quiet person, you can find a member who is very talkative, gifted in talking, So you just sit there. That member will give a lot of testimony. You don't have to say anything. That to bridge the gap.
He said, we are supposed to preach to the end of the earth. Yes. But we, it's not I. Who am I? Right? So we are unable to reach every different language. But like in the States, we can reach this our neighborhood, our classmates, our friends. But for those who are in Africa, our African brethren, they will reach to them. Right? In South America, our brother, sister, they can speak Spanish. They will preach to their neighborhood, their friends. That's how in God's house is composed of all different backgrounds, all nations. Right? Isn't it? So actually here we focus in our surrounding, and just as preacher said, we group up and then we encourage from one another and then we can do it. So this is sometimes we do need teamwork. Actually, it's very important for evangelicals. Okay. Any supplement?
Yeah. Okay, so thank God. So we still have actually some more questions, but we'll address them at tomorrow's Q&A session. So let's conclude with a silent prayer.